Welcome to Thundercast, your go-to podcast for everything Manchester Thunder. Hello, Thunder fans. It's 2025, and you know what that means? I might finally do that triathlon. Who are we kidding? That's never going to happen. No, it's the start of the new Netball Super League as our sport moves towards professionalisation. So let's get started. I'm Lindsay, wishing you a very happy new year. And by the way, I've decided that it's fine to keep saying that until, say, maybe, you know, August. So whenever you're listening to this, it still works, all right? We are all good. It's great to have you along. And I've got to say, I've got a really packed podcast for you this time. Later, I'm going to be talking to Jacob Riley Cooper, who is club captain of Manchester Thunder Men and Mixed Netball in the Access All Areas part of the pod. I've got a brilliant guest for you on Fanalysis, the fan analysis part of the podcast, where obviously I love it if you get in touch with me. Any guesses what you think we might talk about? But to get us started and to take us to the heart of pre-season prep, it's the one and only, it's Natalie Metcalf. Welcome to Thundercast, Nat.
Oh, thanks for having me. You smashed that. I need to work on that.
Thank you very much indeed. It really is brilliant to have you on. And obviously 2025 is a really big year for you. And we're going to talk about netball, but you're expecting your first baby. It's so exciting. It's this year now, Nat. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I am really excited. Like, I'm not going to lie, I'm nervous, first time mom, but yeah, I'm so excited. Like, we've started getting the baby nursery ready, and people, like, I had my birthday in December, and everyone's like, oh, last one before you're a mom, last Christmas before you're a mom, last New Year's before you're a mom. So yeah, it's exciting, and I know I'm well supported by everyone. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Oh, that's brilliant. By the way, those things still exist when you are a mum, and they're just as fun, if not a little bit more. So, you know, you've got great times ahead. We are going to talk about the Super League, of course. But if you're happy, first of all, I'd really love to get your thoughts on netball and pregnancy. You mentioned a few things there, and that journey towards motherhood, because I had a baby 2 years ago. And if I'm really honest, a bit like you, I was pretty nervous about the change because, you know, to my job, to my body, to my life, but also to my netball, because frankly it's the only thing that sort of kept me sane in terms of having that there in the week and having that break for my brain. I know it's not a break because it's sort of a very mental game as well as a physical one, but just having that time and space for myself, I did find it a little bit daunting. And I'm not an elite athlete, so where are you, where's your brain at with that side of things?
I think I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm definitely at peace with the not playing side at the moment whilst I'm pregnant. As soon as I found out, I decided not to play. Just everyone's got different preferences, and I was more comfortable with stepping back from the court side of things. And I've kind of really shifted my mindset into being more of a, like, a wing attack mentor, I like to say it, for the girls in the team. Let them know how good they are, because I think that's so important to keep doing from the sidelines, and also just then build my own knowledge. But yeah, it's been such a completely different perspective, and I'm finding my feet as I go. But I've quite enjoyed it, yeah.
That is such a gorgeous Natalie Metcalf answer, isn't it? And I think all the times that I've spoken to you, you're so giving, you know, as a player, but also as a person. And I sort of think about you in your role as the England captain, and you've always encouraged other people. So listening to that, it's just, oh, I'm so warm-hearted. What a wonderful sort of place that you want to put yourself in that team. That's brilliant. And Manchester Thunder, they are still supporting you, aren't they, through the pregnancy? You're still very much involved with the team side of things.
Oh, absolutely. Like, Karen, Malks, everyone has just been amazing. From the first FaceTime call I had with Karen when I was in Australia on tour, when I, like, literally just found out, honestly, they've been amazing, so supportive throughout it. So yeah, I'm still going to all the training sessions. I'm still involved with all, like, the PA, like, performance analysis, that side of things. And Thunder have been so supportive, and I cannot thank them enough for coming on this journey with me.
And isn't that brilliant to hear in terms of women in sport as well, and also wanting to have a private life, you know, and a family life possibly as well. It's brilliant to hear. In terms of those first few weeks, those first few months, what exercise can people do? Because there'll be women out there that are maybe finding out they're pregnant, they're still playing in maybe local or friendly leagues. Is it okay? Were you told to sort of play in those first few weeks?
Firstly, like, what you want is most important, and what your body's feeling like. We're all so different. But the advice that I was given that was in the first 12 weeks, it's safe to play and continue. And then after that, the shift focuses away from the court and the contested side of things. But with me taking that decision to not play from finding out sooner than 12 weeks, it changed a bit sooner for me. But yeah, I've got like a team around me at England and at Thunder to make sure that everything I'm doing is safe. And it's just making sure that I am changing up my training regime so that both me and baby are safe, essentially. So, but yeah, education wise, I was a bit clueless myself, to be honest. So, oh, well, what's it going to look like for me? What does that mean? Like, what can I do? What can't I do? Yeah, it's a bit unknown, I think, when you're first stepping into that place.
I totally agree with you, because I knew that I wanted to keep playing. So I did keep playing till that 12-week mark, because, you know, it's just, I felt fine. I was very lucky. I didn't have any morning sickness or anything like that. So I did keep playing, but I immediately Googled, like, is it safe to play? Am I all right to play? And there wasn't a huge amount of resource there. Now, I will point to Netball Her with England Netball, because they have brought something out, and actually it's brilliant, those resources. But there's not a lot of research, particularly if you're not sort of keyed into those elite pathways of knowing what to do. So it's fab to hear you sort of say, well, I didn't know actually, and I'm in this setup. So just sharing your story is so helpful to other women. Has anyone spoken to you about your pelvic floor?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that, because I actually had a physio appointment yesterday for that particularly. So yeah, but that is so important. I would say that I have been someone who has struggled personally with their pelvic floor previous to pregnancy. And I think that is something that's not really spoken about or we've heard much about. And I love that you've mentioned Netball Her, because the advice and education that they give on their platform is brilliant, and it should be shared more. It's something that we should talk about more and become just a general conversation. Since turning pregnant, I've heard quite a few people who haven't returned to the game because of the pelvic floor. And so I think it does need a lot of attention and focus and advice on how to strengthen those, how to work on it. And obviously pregnancy is such a big thing that works on your pelvic floor and uses your pelvic floor and really stretches it to its max. So we want to make those women who have had those troubles pre-pregnancy or during pregnancy, post-pregnancy, feel more comfortable to get back into the game.
Absolutely spot on. And I think, you know, any women that have had a baby maybe and have spoken about pelvic floor, let me promise you, Nat, that as they are listening right now, they are holding on to that pelvic floor and doing those squeezes because it is something you become aware of. But we must get to the Super League side of things as well.
Yes.
I'd love to know your thoughts on the move towards professionalisation, you know, and how you think this year might be different to previous seasons. So just to remind people, there are fewer teams in the league this time and the squad sizes have gone down from 12 to 10. So what's your initial feeling heading towards that first game in March?
I think the things I'm most excited about with the professionalisation of it is playing in arena games, so more teams having games in arenas. That is great for the sport. And then I also think working towards it becoming an opportunity for women to do netball as a full-time job is something that we should get really excited about. So many people within netball at the moment balance the two still, but to be able to give netballers an opportunity to be full-time, I think is really exciting for the sport. So hopefully that's what we keep working towards.
Absolutely. The other big change for 25, we've got to talk about it, Nat, I can see you smiling, is the Super Shot is coming into play in NSL 2025. You've played with it already out in Australia. What's it like to have it in play?
Yeah, when I first heard about it, I'll be completely honest, I wasn't 100% keen on it. I loved a traditional game and I was like, oh, whoa, like, what's this change? Like, what's going on? But the more I've played it and the more I've watched it, that I get more excited about it. Yeah.
There you go. I was exactly the same. I was a purist, you know. I was like, Why do we need this? Our game is great. Yeah. But I love watching it, you know, and I wonder, as a player, particularly as a wing attack, what's it like feeding that ball into the circle? Because it's sort of the opposite of what you've always wanted. You wanted to push those shooters under the post. And now it might be about, well, actually, we need to. So we need them in that outer area. What's that like?
You are like bang on there. Like, we talk about getting the ball going towards the post. We want the shooters heading towards the post, taking the ball towards goal. And then as soon as the Super Shot comes into it, you've got your shooters. At the start, this was for us in Australia, all around the edge of the circle, and I'm like, hey, I'm a midcourt, that's where I'm meant to be. Like, I'm like, get in the circle, like, what are you doing? But that is where the tactics comes into it, and you've got to find your feet in the game. So I think when you've got good tactics and you can have someone essentially attacking the post and attacking the two-point game, you're lethal. So yeah, as long as they're not taking up too much of the midcourt space, I'd be all right.
yeah, I'm a wing attack as well. I'm like, get out of my space, what are you doing, get in the circle. Now, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you. Obviously there's a new leadership team at Thunder this year. Those three girls, what do you think they'll bring to the side in terms of leadership?
Oh, I think they'll be amazing. Josie is a natural leader anyways, she knows how to get the group going. Amy, I think, is the perfect time and just an incredible opportunity for Amy to step into that role. She's just someone who really leads by example. She's Thunder through and through, so I think having her lead from the front is a great choice. And then Taylor is our social queen. Everyone's seen her on our socials, but she brings the group together on and off the court, but then also she's an absolute workhorse on the court. So I think she again will lead by example, and they'll leave no stone unturned in trying to get that premiership in 2025.
Yeah, she's absolutely fierce. Premiership in 2025, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Let's wait and see what happens. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And I know everybody says this, Nat, but you look absolutely stunning. You look you're glowing and sort of, you know, enjoying the 20-week mark. And I do remember that does make a difference. I remember people saying to me, oh, you're glowing. And I was like, does that mean I'm sweating? Are you telling me that I'm sweating? Because I do feel quite hot. But you look fab. And I do hope that you're able to enjoy a bit of the pregnancy as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Lindsay.
It's always a pleasure. Go and eat some salt and vinegar crisps. I know they're your thing. Enjoy that. And thanks for chatting to me.
Thank you.
Now, on Thundercast, I absolutely love it when you get in touch, so much so that the podcast now has a specially dedicated section for Thunder fans to come on and have a good old chat with me about all things black and yellow. Is it my favourite part of the podcast? Maybe it is, you know. Do you know, you shouldn't have favourites, should you? But I do. I really love this section. It's called Fan Analysis or Fanalysis. Copyright Lindsay Chapman. If you're listening and you're thinking, I'd really love to give that a go, I would be so pleased to hear from you. Do get in touch using the hashtag Thundercast on Twitter or drop me a DM. I'm Lindsay Chapman Presenter on Instagram. You can email as well. The email is hello@a-linedmedia.co.uk. You can find all the information in the show notes. You know, get in touch, send me a pigeon, whatever, just do it. So let's meet our Fanalysis Thunder fan for this episode. Welcome. Hello. You've got a lovely smile. Tell me what your name is.
My name is Vicky Harrison.
Vicky, what an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
And if I'm right, Vicky, you are a super fan of Manchester Thunder. Is that right? You know, you've got your pre-season friendly game tickets, you've got your season opener tickets, you've got your season tickets, and you've got your finals tickets all purchased already. Is that right?
It's true. It's so true. It came to January, or just before Christmas, actually, and we started looking, myself and my friend Siobhan, we were looking at all the dates and we were putting them in the calendar because Siobhan's husband, we tend not to tell him how many things we're going to. She
Amazing.
Just goes, it's in the calendar. So we always try and get it in before, like as soon as the calendar comes out Christmas Day, it's like all the Thunder things and all the roses and all the games are in. So he can't say anything. So we're going to watch all these different away days, as we call them.
I absolutely love you, Vicky. This is what we want. This is the dedication to the sport that we need. And I'm also delighted to hear, you know, the confidence of buying final tickets right now, you know, because you just expect Thunder to be there. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we've been to the last 3 years worth. So we love it. We just enjoy the atmosphere, the whole build up, everything, the whole game. It's yes, phenomenal. And the season openers for us are just the most exciting because we're like, that's going to be tough. Or, ooh. And then when it actually comes to it, it's a completely different game. So it's always something unexpected when you go and you actually see them playing, especially at Bellevue as well. It's a different atmosphere, isn't it? So it's really good.
It is wonderful. And I do want to hand the floor over to you, but let me just ask you about that season opener because, hey, it's going to be different this year, isn't it? We've gone from 10 teams to 8. We've got those two new teams in. We've got Nottingham Forest Netball and we've got Birmingham Panthers. So real unknowns in the league this time.
Yeah, totally. It's always nice at the season opener because they haven't played together for very long. So when you see like an ex Thunder player playing in another team, you can see how they haven't quite meshed. And then 3 games later, you can see, no, they're there. They understand. They've got it. It's brilliant. It's so good to see that progression from start to finish.
Yeah, and having spoken to Karen Gregg, you know, and looking at the preseason, they really don't get a lot of time together as a full squad. So you see that development, you know, because there's Rosie's commitments, there are players that are playing abroad. So you actually do see, as you say, week by week, those things gel. The floor is yours. What would you like to talk to me about in terms of Manchester Thunder?
Oh, for me, it's the team. I absolutely love going and watching them. I do have to say, I do have a couple of favourites.
Which player is it?
It's Taylor.
It's Taylor McKevitt.
But she's just phenomenal. And just the way she plays, her energy levels, everything about her, I just find so good. And one of my friend's daughters was going to a training session with her. And I begged to go along just so I could sit on the bench and be really close and watch how she taught. I have met her a few times, and we did see her at the Rosie's game as well, just at the end of last year. And I said, I'm so sorry, I'm really not stalking you. Honestly, I'm not. Because every time she's there, I am there. So I did have to apologise. But yeah, the only thing I don't like about Manchester Thunder is when you go and you meet them and you have your photo taken with them and you realise at 5'5" you're very, very short. It doesn't matter.
Now, look, I actually think we've got to the nub of things here. I think we're really, you know, sort of hitting some of the crucial points in netball. Like you, I am 5'4", in fact. You're a little bit taller than me. You 5'5".
I'm probably just touching 5'5", yeah. If I'm honest.
Okay. All netballers round up. So, yeah, you know, I'm 5'4". When I interview these players and when I speak to these players, you know, on live TV, it looks ridiculous. So much so that in, you know, on the last game of the season last year, I stood in a box because I was like, do you know what? I've had enough of this season. I am going to boost myself up to your height. And it's true. Any photographs, yeah. They're just these goddesses, aren't they? They're incredible athletes.
We watched them play at the season opener and they hadn't even broken sweat. I mean, they played full on, you know, for the full game. They walked up the stairs and it's like, yeah, you're not even sweating. It's quite depressing to watch.
Not fair. You know, it's definitely not fair, is it?
Your hair stuck to you. You look at this and you're like, yeah, you look as good as you did when you walked on that court. They're just, yeah, I am in awe of them. I really am.
And I think, you know, in terms of the team, you watch them a lot, you know them a lot. Mm. We've gone down from a squad of 12, but really 15, if you have those training partners as well, to 10, you know, and looking at those 10, Taylor's in there. But we've all teams across the league really need to have players that offer two or three positions, don't they? What do you, when you look at that squad that Karen's put together, what do you think?
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they all gel. I think people like Taylor and Josie are just, you know, I think will just really help gel that team together. And you've got so many young players, but they've come all the way up, haven't they? They've not just arrived. They've come all the way up. So they understand the ethos. They understand how they play together. And they all really look like they're enjoying themselves when you see them. Even when they're stood behind and they're cheering the first team on, or they've played with the under 18s or under 21s, or and then they've gone on and, you know, or just sat and watched, they all really, really enjoy it. And I think that is the most beneficial thing that you can do, is if you enjoy it and you like your team, I think it just helps so much. It really does.
Talk to me about nicknames, because I think you've got a few little Thunder nicknames, haven't you?
We have got a few, and it's because I'm so bad at remembering people's names. I really, really can't remember people's names, so I kind of associate them with things. So there was Bouncy Bowen.
I was going to say, are these all right to say on the pod? No,
but these are absolutely fine.
Yeah, she was very springy, very springy.
She's so
Bowen.
Springy. There's the the Huckle Slap.
So the Huckle Slap is when she sort of slaps her hand across her knee, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. And she smiles every time she does it. So it's usually when she's been pulled for something and she does it, and then she has this amazing smile, so she's never offending anyone, and I just think it's amazing. Imagine being able to play at that level, be pushed around, shoved around, and never get the ball for a quarter, but still have that enthusiasm to play the game. So yeah, she's definitely a favorite as well.
That's superb. In this pod, we have been speaking about the Super Shot, which is coming in, already played out in Australia.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the on the Super Shot? Are you a yay or a nay?
Oh, I'm a yay, because if anyone can get it in that net from any distance, I am in awe. It doesn't matter. I mean, I can stand under the post, or I can stand, and I cannot do it. So to be able to have the confidence and the ability to get it in from there, I mean, hats off. Yeah. And if it just shows any good, do you know what? It'll really make me smile. It's all these fellas that stand there going, why are they shooting from under the post? Is that all they do? And it really irritates me, because it's so hard to actually do it from under the post as well. But if they can go and do it from outside, and you can go, no, they can shoot from anywhere, that I would love. Just that.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. I will caveat that and say that those shots underneath the post are, I think, the hardest shots in the game, because you're expected to get them in, and just the right weighting and the right elevation to the ball. It's really tricky.
You've got some lunatic jumping up and down in front of you, trying to put you off, and you've still got to get in. Yeah.
You've got Josie Huckle slapping a thigh at you at the same time. It's not easy. It's not easy. Look, absolutely brilliant to talk to you, Vicky. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, on Fanalysis. You've been great. If you would like to take part, you can DM me with a note on what you'd like to discuss. I'm Lindsay Chapman, presenter on Instagram, or use the hashtag Thundercast on Twitter. Don't forget, you can email as well. It's hello@a-linedmedia.co.uk. Vicky, brilliant to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, now it's time for Access All Areas, the part of the pod where I go behind the scenes at Manchester Thunder, shining a light on things the club is famous for, but also parts of Manchester Thunder that you might not know too much about until now. And what a treat. Joining me on the pod is Jacob Riley Cooper, who is club captain of Manchester Thunder men's and mixed netball teams. Welcome to the podcast, Jacob.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's a real, real pleasure. And I'm fascinated by the men's and mixed netball side of things, because it's an area, isn't it, that's really growing at the moment. First of all, how did you get into playing netball? And almost more importantly, what position do you play?
So it's a brilliant sport, men's and mixed. And it was after COVID when I met up with my friend Tom, Tom Noakes, who is a Thunder pathway coach and player at Manchester Thunder men's and mixed. And we just met up to play pool, and he had a open spot at the Oldham Ball Hall and said, do you fancy going and playing? And I said, oh, no, I'm okay, thank you, because I was of the belief that netball was a girl's sport only. So then the week after, we met up for pool again, and he said, do you want to go and play? And I think a few weeks after that, I kind of, you know, broke down and said, yeah, okay, I'll go and play. And he stuck me in defence. Because he wanted to be the shooter.
Obviously, I can hear, you know, how much you love the sport in your voice. But but just for a bit of context, I think it was in autumn 2024, wasn't it, that Manchester Thunder announced an agreement with Manchester Spartans Netball at the time that would see the creation of the first fully integrated elite level women's, men's and mixed netball franchise in the world. Credit to Manchester Thunder, and rebranded under the name Manchester Thunder Men's and Mixed Netball. You know, that's so exciting, and what a brilliant thing for the club to be doing.
It's incredible. And the growth of the sport has been absolutely just astronomical over the past few years. And when we're speaking with Dave, Debbie, Karen, now Thunder, to try and grow the men's and mixed, because we've always trained with Thunder, we've always done like practice matches, and we've done the like curtain raises at the AO Arena and different games that we try and get a few of those a year. It was always, how can we take the next step into the sport? And this seemed, for Thunder netball, like the logical step, like to grow not just in the like the female fan base, but showing that men and mixed like is a sport to be played across the country and hopefully across the world.
And I think what you've touched on there as well is that, you know, as we look to grow the sport, and we're talking a lot in 2025 about the move towards professionalisation, which will take sort of a 10-year process, say, for the women's side of things. You know, we are talking about the fans a lot on that, and needing the fans to come with us on that journey. And it feels like this opportunity with the men's and mixed side of things is not just about what's happening on court, but it's also about saying to the people in the stands, this is a sport for everybody.
Yeah. I think that's the big thing. You know, well, like I said before, when Tom asked me if I wanted to play, I just chuckled and said no. But playing the sport it's ultra competitive, but it's the spectator part of it. You know, when you go to the Thunderdome at Bellevue, or you go to the AO Arena when there's an arena game on, the atmosphere is electric. And one of my favourite moments of that was when we did the AO Arena curtain raiser 2 seasons ago, and I think there was about 1,200, 1,500 people in for the curtain raiser for the watching the men's and mixed game against Knights Netball down in London. That it was a cracker of a game, and we had a lot of people then, you know, follow us on social media, come to different games, ask how they can get involved, and kind of the growth through both teams there was brilliant. So that's all we need to keep doing, really.
You know, one thing that I always sort of say is that I'm very proud of netball as being a female-led sport. I always say this, you know, you think about football, you think about men first, let's be honest. Yep. You know, the Lionesses is incredible, but you still think about the England men's team first. You talk about netball and you think of women first. And that is really important to me. You know, when people sort of say, oh, well, is it a good thing that men are coming into the game? And I think absolutely, yes, it is, because we want to raise the profile. But I also feel like we don't want to lose that sort of female-led side of things. Where do you stand on that?
I love that netball is netball and men's and mixed netball. Like you said, you say football and women's football, but you say netball and men's netball. I love that. And every time it's a conversation starter. Oh, you play netball. Like, yeah, because it's brilliant and you should give it a try. And I'd never want to lose that. And that's part of the thing with this partnership is it's Manchester Thunder playing the Netball Super League. We also have the men's and the mixed netball teams that want to elevate sport around not just Manchester, but the North and the UK. And I think the only way to keep doing that is to do things like this, because it is, I think stats may prove me wrong, but I think it is the most popular like ball sport for women, but it's growing.
Women's team sport, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's
in
growing.
Yeah.
It's growing massively for the men's and the mixed. You know, I never want to lose netball and men's netball. But it would be great to just have netball,
And it's, you know, that's sort of wonderful to me. And I love your way of saying that. I'm going to take that on, and netball and men's netball. That's really cool. And I think that the fact that you are saying, you know, we want to take it out into schools and you know, in some ways, and I think this happens a lot less now. There is still that sort of, you know, gym skirts and pivoting for the women. And if people say that to me, I'm like, that's gone. It's not like that anymore. You know, it's such a sort of physical game. It's so brilliant to watch. And I think that notion of, oh, that's a girl's sport. Well, one, I'm proud of it being a girl's sport. And two, actually, no, it's a really inclusive, dynamic, open sport. It's great to hear you talk about it. Tell me, for those people that don't maybe know about the team setup in a mixed team, what's the ratio of men to women on court?
So you can have a maximum of 3 men on court at one time. So you can have one in the defensive third, one in the centre third, and one in the attacking third. So that means that you can have a goalkeeper or goal defence, a wing defence, centre, wing attack, and then a goal attack, goal shooter. So you can't have more than one male or non-identifying female in one of those thirds. And then you have to have a minimum of 2 men as well.
Brilliant stuff. And what's next for you? Because you're also part of the England men's and mixed netball squad, aren't you? And I think you've got some announcements with Manchester Thunder. Are you announcing a captain in the spring?
Yeah, so we're going to be doing the Manchester Thunder men's and mixed with the new kind of partnership. We're going to be announcing a men's and a mixed captain. So the next steps is to make sure that we've got the best leaders going forward. And with the England men's and mixed setup, we've got quite a few players inside of there that just want to keep on progressing. And hopefully with Thunder, we'll be able to always take our best squad to be visible around the country. So we've got some really cool announcements. And it's not just that, we're also getting the sexiest kit coming up as well.
Amazing.
It's been... with VX3.
That's what you come to this podcast for. You know, it's about honestly, the sexy kit. Go on, tell me.
You know, it's something that we wanted to keep the Spartans kind of heritage alive, because with Caswell, Kareem, Simon Perry, and Fran Campbell, who founded Spartans, everyone is a Spartan. You know, we always used to say we bleed blue, and now it's... yeah. Bleed black and yellow with a hint of blue.
With a hint of blue, yeah. Because it was sort of a blue logo with a black sort of helmet.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, so a Spartan going into battle, and that's why I always used to play like that. That's how I get bruised. But yeah, we've got an ode to the kind of the Spartans, like, history and heritage, and we'll always have that. And that's what we want to do moving forward. And when the kits are announced, oh my goodness, so we've got a media day coming up in February. It's going to be beautiful.
This is superb. I love that we've gone to sort of the moral extremes of how netball works and, you know, what we want from the men and from the women. But really, we've just finished talking about, you know, a really very attractive kit. Can't wait.
It all comes down to the kit. It does.
It really does. It's all part of the game. Final question then, because we're talking about this on the podcast. We'd love to get your thoughts on this one. What do you think about the Super Shot being introduced to Netball Super League in 2025 as a defender as well? Oh, it's a big one.
Yeah, I think the Super Shot, I think the timing could have been a tiny bit better, a bit earlier, because the squads were already picked and things like that. But you're absolutely right that they've got to think about that. My only worry is, like, last season we saw a couple of blowouts, that you could go the extreme there. If there is a blowout and then they're just really good at nailing the Super Shot, then it could be even further. But I think it will hopefully make those last 5 minutes of a game really nail-biting, and more so than ever before. And you've got to embrace change. You know, that's what I think everyone said about men's and mixed netball when it came in, that, you know, women's netball have got to embrace change. So I think we'd be silly to say not to do so here. Just in the time, it could have been a teeny tiny bit a bit better. But it's going to be fun.
Spoken as a true defender there, Jacob. Don't be afraid of the future. It's coming for you. You've got to rethink your tactics.
Yeah, I'm going to have to jump a bit higher, I think. So I'm going to have to get some better shoes. So,
well, look, thank you so much for coming on Access All Areas and telling us a bit more about how it works. Just finally, if there are men that want to play netball out there, if there's women that want to join a mixed team, like, how easy is that to do, like, locally or with Thunder?
Yeah, if they're in Manchester or around that area, please do get in touch on our social media. Thunder Mix or Thunder Men's and Mixed, across different platforms. But also, if they go onto the England Men's and Mixed website, there is a club finder as well that has, well, now close to 100 different men's and mixed teams across the country. Where if you are around an area, there will be a team there waiting to pick you up for a trial.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, come and play, come and watch. We'd love to see you there. Thank you so much for talking to me, Jacob.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And best of the luck with the kit launch. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
And so we reach the final whistle. What an eclectic pod, eh? From Nat talking about pelvic floor to the Super Shot to Jacob and the launch of the sexy kits. You know, we are looking forward to that in men's and mixed netball, but just brilliant to have sort of the context conversations around what we can expect from the Super League this year, but also about the growing side of the sport. Don't forget, Super League 2025 launches on the 8th of March with the brand new Super Cup, the Netball Super Cup event, which features all eight teams in action in Sheffield. And then the regular season commences with a home game for Manchester Thunder against Loughborough Lightning on Sunday the 16th of March. That one is at the AO Arena, no less. And heads up, there may be a special little match ahead of that game. Now, I can't say much right now, except that I am practicing my Super Shot. Oh yes, be worried, people. Season tickets are, of course, available now via the Manchester Thunder website. And the grand final this year is on Sunday the 6th of July at the O2 in London. That is huge. Thank you so much for listening. This has been an Aligned Media production for Manchester Thunder. I'm off to stand a long way away from the post and look to launch that ball in. I will see you next time. Thundercast was written and presented by Lindsay Chapman and produced by Ed Heaton. It's an Aligned Media production.